Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Brian. All right, we've started recording. We're gonna sorry we're late tonight. Go ahead and begin with our fifth topic or sixth. The tonight's topic is community. So, Danae, would you mind opening us in prayer?
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, thankful for all the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for our marriage. Thank you for our family. Thank you for our children. We ask you to be with us as we explore the necessity of community. You yourself showed us with your apostles how important it was to be in community. You sent the apostles out two by two, always going together in community. Help us learn to live community well so that we can continue to serve you and grow in you. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name.
Amen. All
Okay.
right. I just feel like community is really your topic. You do a really good job with that. All right. If we look at scripture, we do see, as Danae said in her prayer, that the apostles lived in community. Jesus chose 12 apostles and he sent them out two by two. And he put Peter in charge of the other apostles to strengthen them after he would return and repent of his own sin. And we see that just over and over throughout scripture. If we start in the beginning, right, we had it was not good for the man to be alone, so he made him a helpmate and he gave him children. And community kept growing, right? Jesus himself, when he came to the world, he could have come from some place where nobody knew, but he chose to come into a family, right? A community.
The interesting thing about community is God designed us to be in a family. And in the beginning, families all lived together. Aunts and uncles, grandparents, cousins, we lived together in community with our family. But as society changed and people started moving apart away from family, so you had this natural community of your family that you started out with, but as you moved away, you had to create new community with those around you that maybe were not blood family, but end up becoming part of your family in Christ. And so it's so important. God created us in a family and to live in community. And if we're not living near our family, it's extremely important that we find other people living the same state in life to journey with.
Right. And if you just read in Acts of the Apostles, right, after Jesus ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, what they did is they lived in community. Even when Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, was sent out, Barnabas went with him, right? There was a great instance of living within that community. I think it was for multiple reasons. One, because it was the example of our Lord, to have a community of believers that would go out and change the world. And we too are called to do the same thing. Not a whole lot has changed since the Acts of the Apostles, except that there are more Christians in the world. And in the beginning, the apostles were out amongst Jews and Greeks and all kinds, right? Saint Thomas, the doubting Thomas, right? The apostle, he went all the way to India. That's about as far as you can get away from a community. But I have a feeling that he brought people with him and he formed new community there because they were by far the minority. And you can go to India now and you'll see many communities of Christians. They all live pretty close to each other, right? Because after Thomas evangelized India, there came a point when the priest died out and there were no more priests. And then when my patron saint, Francis Xavier with the Jesuits, went back to India, he found all these people who said they were Catholic. But yet they had not seen the sacraments for so long, but they still lived in community and held on to the community that they had, and they still claimed to be Christians. And he educated them and started to form priests and to basically resuscitate the faith in India. So community is very important, right? And so if we look at just kind of at our own lives of what we can do as families, right? For one, the first community is husband and wife. And then husband and wife, they not always, but typically they'll have children. And so that community becomes larger within the context of the family. And that one family can do much good, but it can do even more good by being in community with other families. And while it is possible to live a heroic Christian life in isolation, it is a whole lot harder if we have little to no community. If we are, I guess, living a Christian life in the midst of a whole bunch of pagans, we are going to have a harder time choosing the heroic path of Christian virtue. I know for us in our own life, we got to know, I guess, really by divine providence, we got to know another family very well when we both had three children. And before that, we had really our own family of origin. We used to do quite a bit with my mom and dad and with Nay's mom and dad. And my mother passed away at about that time. But we were living in a different city about 3 hours away from our family of origin. And I had friends at work, which were fine. I honestly don't, I think one or two of them were Catholic. One, I think maybe both of the guys that I ended up becoming friends with, they went to our church or close by. So we had a little bit more of a connection with them. But this couple that we met, I met him because I volunteered at church. And we got to talking and realized that we very much shared a similar faith walk. They had a goal to live their faith out a bit better. And we lived two streets away from each other. So we started to really spend a lot of time with them. We had kids roughly the same ages. In fact, some of them, their birthdays were days apart from each other. That's how providential it was. Their oldest was a year younger than our oldest. But that was about it. And we had three children. We had just had our third. And I think they must have been 6 or 7 months old. So they've always known each other. And we kept having more children. I say that it was a lot easier for us to go against the grain in Austin, Texas, because in Austin, Texas, there's well, it's just a different culture there. It's one that's not even now today, it's probably less Christian and more environmentally friendly. That may be the religion. It's an interesting place, but I wouldn't call it a Christ-centered city. And you can just tell by the laws and the way that things are done. So living in that environment, the Christians kind of stuck together, right? And the Catholics even more so. So we did that in order. I don't know. At the time, I don't think we really put it together how important it was, because you were always going to be challenged by something. You were always going to have some moral teaching that you were going to need to have some strength to resist, because it was everywhere. The culture there was so different than our Catholic faith that having another family that was living it out too was really very important. I know for us, our family, we around that same time, we decided that it was, well, Danae always knew this. I had to decide that we were going to live out the Ten Commandments, right? The call of the gospel. And my reasoning went that I could just sort of live the Christian faith in an average way and meet all the requirements. I go to church, not break any of the Ten Commandments. I could do all those things, pretty well. But if I was going, just kind of like at work, right? At work, you could be an average employee and still get paid. You might not get the big promotions. You might, I don't know, just you'll just kind of bump along. Or you can really try to raise the bar, right? Be the best at your job. Well, the Christian life is no different, right? We see a lot of Christians that, kind of meet the minimum requirements. They're not bad people. They don't kick the dog. They don't, I don't know, whatever. They don't cheat on their spouse, right? There's a lot of minimums that we can say, yeah, that's a decent person. But are they living like they're trying to win the race, right? St. Paul talks about that. He says, I strive to win the race. And I'm going to keep striving. I'm going to train myself so that I win the race. And so at some point, I decided that that's what I needed to do, that it wasn't really going to be enough to be an average Catholic. And it was around this time that we met this other family, and I think they might have been in that same boat. In fact, they've shared about it. I'm not sure how publicly they have, but I think that it was. We were both in a place where we were looking for something more. And as we had three children, we had already exceeded the expectation in the community that we lived in. In fact, we'd exceeded it because two kids was enough. In fact, for us, we had three girls first. And after the first two girls, actually after the first child, we got pregnant again. It's like, oh yeah, of course, you want to have a girl and a boy. And then we had a girl, and they're like, oh, okay, well, she's beautiful and she's healthy, and that's great. And then we got pregnant again, and people are like, gosh, I don't blame you. You're gonna have that third pregnancy, and you're gonna get your boy now. And so we had a girl. And people were like, well, okay, well, hey, you gave it a good try. And so we had three girls. And we met this other family, and we were both just kind of there together, and we were trying to build a Catholic school, and so we had some work to do, and then we got pregnant with our fourth. And a lot of people in our Catholic community, and this wasn't just the Austin community, it was the Catholic community, and they're really looking at us like, man, you guys really want a boy. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, it's kind of sounds funny and might even get a chuckle out of it, but that's what most people at our parish thought, because when we had two children, we matched about everybody else in this community. There were some elderly folks, but any of the younger families, even the people in their mid-30s, because we were in our 20s at that point, even the people in their mid-30s, they had two kids. And then we had done this round robin dinner group thing. So this is more than just speculation, right? A round robin dinner group thing. And we had a lot of different couples that we were meeting and getting to know over the course of four meals, right? One at each home of the four couples. And shocking to Danae and maybe even to myself, but I don't know that I'd really thought about it all that hard until I started to really delve into what the teachings of the faith were. We found a lot of people that were sterilized on purpose, right? They chose to have no more children. One couple in particular, from the choir, right? It was their second marriage for one of them, I think. I think it might have been the first marriage for the other person. And he was very proud of that. After his first child with his first wife, he got a vasectomy. Then he got married to this woman that I was in choir with. And he's like, well, yeah, I just went and had the vasectomy reversed. And we got pregnant. And then I just went and got the surgery again to turn it off. And at that time, I don't know that I even saw how weird that was, right? But as a Catholic, if I go read Donum Vitae, and I mean, there's all these things on human life, sterilization, I guess, Humanae Vitae and Donum Vitae, and there's a number of encyclicals on the sacredness of transmitting life. I would have known how weird that was. But that community that we were a part of for that particular one, it was one that was very endorsing of sterilization. In fact, I think both, so there were four couples that we always got together and played cards. And I'm fairly certain that every other couple, the other two couples that we were in that with, they all ended up sterilizing themselves after having another child. And one had two children, the other one ended up having four, and they got so much flack from their parents that I think the pressure was just too much. So I relay those stories not to condemn the particular couples, but more to say that community is important. And selecting good community is really important to your spiritual life. Your community is either going to support you in living a heroic Christian life or it's not. I gave a talk to Catholic Campus Ministry at the local parish here just last week. And it was a talk on, how you how can you maintain your faith in the midst of scandal, right? Whatever scandal, right? There's always scandals going on within the church and within society that might cause you to question your faith. And in the course of that, I said, what we really need for people to do the right thing in the face of scandal is we need saints. And I'm not just talking about the bishops and the priests to be saints, but in order for them to be saints, they need parishioners to be saints. Because when they look out on this congregation, or a bishop looks out and his all of his parishes and his priest, if he sees a whole lot of saints, a whole lot of men, priests, that are laying down their lives to do the hard things that's required of Catholicism, he's going to be able to do the hard things too. So community is so important. Good community is so important. So back to the round robin dinner group, we found out that there was just a ton of people that were again sterilized after two children, and they would talk about it at dinner. We're like, that's really weird. I know that's not right. And this is a Catholic group. And then the one that did ascend was we ended up in a round robin dinner group with a couple that was cohabitating. We're like, I think this might not be the community for us, because at that point we really knew the teachings of the church, and we knew that that was wrong. And so I can't say that we've always landed in good community. And when we didn't, we had a choice. We could either fit in and choose to kind of accept the sinful, I don't know. It's not even accept that people are sinful. It's accepting someone engaged in sin and promoting it as not sin. And that happens to a lot of Catholics. So community is not just important to have, but good community is important to have, where you have people that you walk arm in arm with in this journey, which is getting increasingly difficult, where even within our own Catholic churches, very often we find that we are walking with people who selectively choose the moral teachings that they're going to acknowledge as truth and that they're going to follow. Because I tell you, we got more grief from having a large family from our fellow Catholics than we did from all of the other people in Austin. Because for a while there, Austin was live and let live, and unless you're infringing upon me. And so we really didn't get that many weird, we got maybe some looks like, well, okay, I guess if you want to spend your money having all those kids and buying the 15 passenger van, I guess that's okay. You do you. But Catholics were just, it was actually insulting many times, right? And so we had to buck that trend. And when we met this other couple, we had three kids, again, at the top of the level of what was acceptable at our parish. And then we kept having more. And we started to stick out like a sore thumb. Our kids thought that they were the weirdest ones, because when they would go to catechism class, they knew more than their teachers. And that's not saying much about our children. That's actually more about the people that were instructing our children. And when they would ask questions, our kids knew the answer. So they'd raise their hand and say, I know the answer. And then the teacher would say, who here knows the answer except for Abair? And our kids started to think they were the weird ones, because they were surrounded by people that didn't know the
So
faith.
the other part of good community, not only does it help you live out your virtuous life and your Christian calling, but it also shows your children that this is what is normal. This is the way to live. So if you end up surrounding your children with people who are not following the teachings and the faith in the way that you're trying to teach them, then they are more easily swayed because they look over there and say, well, they're not living this way. So it's so important to find people that are also on the same page with your faith and living that life so that you have good examples for your children. Because when kids get older, they start looking outside of their family, going, well, how are they living? How are they living? How are they living? And what it does is it gives good people for your kids to maybe go and ask questions for when they don't feel like they can ask you about it. They might go to your friends that you live in community with and be more comfortable talking to someone else, and you want them to have the same answers that you have.
Yeah, so I mean that's a very practical thing. So anyway, we're down to the importance of community, the importance of good community. Now, how do we actually do this? So when we moved halfway across the country in 2020, we didn't expect that we were going to find a community of believers that actually agree with us. We always thought we were going to stick out as the large family. And we had our large family friends who and we had our friends who maybe didn't have large families but absolutely loved all the teachings of the church and supported us in that. We would drive up to Catholic conferences in Wichita, Kansas, so that our kids would be surrounded by other families who were also living out this heroic virtue. We'd go up to Ohio to Catholic Family Land, and once a year we would find other families that were actually living that. So we move here to Charlotte, and we go to this parish here, and we're just kind of shocked because we were not the large family. There were many families that have more children than we did. There were the norm in this parish was to live out the teachings of the Catholic Church in a radical way. The goal was not just to check off the box. I mean, this is a majority of the people, right? It's not everybody, but a majority. We're not just checking the box by attended mass. They were running Catholic bookstores. They were Catholic publishers. They were famous bloggers. I mean, the number of people that I met in the first week, I'm like, what? This is really something that we have met all these people who are, and the fact that they're Catholic authors or speakers doesn't really matter, right? They take their faith seriously. They've decided that the only thing that matters to them is living out their lives according to God's plan for them. And if that entails having 15 kids, praise God, let's have 15 kids. Now, if it entails putting all of your money and resources into a Catholic retreat center, we're going to do it, right? Just seeing people stepping out in faith and doing what God calls them to do has been very, I guess, inspiring
Edifying.
to us and edifying because we were, I think that's the way we live, at least that's the way we strive to live. But we kind of had it easy because we had these other friends who were doing the same thing, and we would encourage each other. We would be the ones. I mean, we're almost like cousins, right? Their son's getting married this December, and well, we're not hosting a family retreat in December this year because we're going to the wedding in a Chicago. So it's going to be cold, but you know what? That's okay. They're our best friends, and we've walked, gosh, 26 years with them. It's how long we've known them. And we wouldn't miss one of their kids' weddings. I'm not going to miss my buddy's ordination to the diaconate when he gets it ordained next year, right? We're that close because we've been through the fight together. Danae and Kelly have had the same derogatory comments about all the kids, right? When our car battery died and it was 2 a.m. in the morning, I called him because I knew he would come and help me, just like I would go and help him. Right? We know and we trust each other. And that's community. Community is we're heading in the same direction. And you can read Acts of the Apostles. It was very similar, right? They were willing to challenge each other, Paul challenging Peter. And Peter didn't say, okay, it's done. I'm out of here. They're like, well, okay, I'll listen to you. That's community. We're striving towards the same goal, which is getting our families to heaven. And we know that we can call on each other to help us in that quest. And we know that the burden will be lighter because we have other people that we are locked arm in arm with on this journey that we call life. So, how do you do it?
One family at a time.
One family at a time. And if you haven't found that family or families or that community, that parish that edifies you, pray to God and ask for it. He is faithful. He wants this for us. It's not going to be perfect. Our parish is not perfect. I'm not going to tell you the name of the parish because it doesn't matter. Whatever parish you go to, it's not perfect. But there's a good one for you. And there's one that maybe at times you're called to be the one who inspires someone else. Or maybe you're the one there and you're being inspired by another family or another person. We don't really know. We don't have the mind of God. We can't see everything he sees. But it should be a goal in our lives. Community is important. Inviting a family out to lunch after Mass, standing around in the courtyard, visiting for 30 minutes until the next Mass starts, that's building community. It's important. We edify each other. We help each other on that sometimes very difficult path to heaven. We share in struggles, right? We bring meals to people when they have sickness, when they have babies, right? When they're burying a loved one, right? We support each other, even if we don't know them well, right? It's what we're called to do. It's part of being Catholic. I mean, the readings from this weekend, right? Lazarus and his sisters were good friends of the Lord. And they called on the Lord. And I think it might have been more out of friendship than anything else. They just wanted him to know Lazarus is sick. And they all went to see him. And he ended up pulling off a big miracle, but if you read kind of the commentary about it, this was a family that Jesus was very close to. He didn't have to do that, right? He could have just said, I'm on my mission with these 12 apostles who don't really get it. But you kind of get the impression that Lazarus and his family, his sisters, they got it. And Jesus considered them very good friends, and he even wept at the sorrow that Martha and Mary were feeling over the death of Lazarus and over even the loss of Lazarus. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be there for each other. We're called to support each other in the good times and the bad, kind of like we do our spouses. But we expand that circle of love, of loving as God loves. So let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for creating us to live in community. For when you created man, you said, let us create man in our own image. So we can look at the Trinity itself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see a communion of persons. And that is how we are created. We are not created to be solitary, but we are created for community. We ask that you grant us our heart's desire to live in community, to find good friends that will help us along the journey. We give you thanks for those people you brought into our lives who have encouraged us, if only by their example of striving for holiness. And we ask that you give us the opportunity to encourage others. And all these things we pray in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.